Welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for September 26th, brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and back at the controls this week is Jim Allen. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, John. I can't find the controls. Where are they? I don't see them.
At your
fingers. I'm lost.
They're at you. Wherever you are, you're in control, bud.
You are the nicest guy to say that. And the only one to say it, so you get credit for that, too, for being original.
All right, well, we've got a lot on the bases. The bases are the sacks are full today. We've got an interview with Jose Fernandez of the Cebu Lions. We've got a discussion about a couple of really hot teams. And we've got a great question from a reader. So let's get going by clearing the bases. All right, well, what's your take on the Lions' run? I mean, they're going nuts here.
yeah, they are. They won their eighth straight today. They're 8-0-2 in the last 10 games, and unfortunately, you know, they're plugging away, and they're probably playing the best ball in Japan at the moment. And yeah, obviously, what's going on with them is I say obviously, I didn't know it until I looked, but the offense is something else.
Yeah, I think the offense has picked up, but you know, they're playing well, but so are the Oryx Buffaloes, and that means that the Lions are really not making any ground. They're just treading water. In fact, if they weren't winning like this, they'd be four or five more games back, I think.
Hey, they're still tonight, this afternoon, the Buffaloes won, and they are now closer to second. The third place team is now closer to second than to fourth, and this is something that we haven't seen much this year, at least since we started thinking about the pennant races back in May.
Right. Right, which we were talking about ad nauseum, I think, every week, but we recently stopped and we've been concentrating on other things, but while we weren't looking, look what's happened.
Yes, which means that it is not inconceivable that the Buffaloes could finish second.
Well, I'm not holding my breath, but they are playing some great baseball, and they to go up and win games like that, like they have in Sapporo or at Sapporo Dome, it's impressive because they got behind and won, but so are the Lions. We can't dispute them. And I caught up with Jose Fernandez on Friday,
right. And
you know, I forgot he was from the Dominican Republic. I thought he was, you know, from somewhere else. Well, I won't start throwing out countries there, but I thought he was from somewhere else. But you know, I asked him how the Lions were able to turn things around this month, and he's a guy who came to Japan to play for Lotte in 2003, and he played with the Lions the next two seasons before going to Rakuten from 2006 to 2008. He spent a fruitless season at Oryx with in 2009. And then he returned to say
he was hurt in 2009, his only real injury.
Yeah. And he's one of a number of foreign players to play with four teams in Japan. So let's take a quick listen to the interview. All right, I'm joined here by Jose Fernandez. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with us. Appreciate it, man.
My pleasure to have me.
Now let's talk about this team. You guys are on a pretty hot roll here, having a great September. What's going on?
Yeah, well, finally we're putting things together. You know, it's been a season and high expectation for the team, and as high expectation was at the beginning of the season, it's been a big disappointment. I'm sure fans are kind of disappointed because we weren't expecting to be in this situation, but that's the beauty of this game. You never know how it's going to happen and what's going to happen. But you know, finally we're putting things together, and hopefully we can keep it up and carry it to the next level, which will be the, you know, climax series.
Now, how have you been doing it? I mean, I noticed that the starting pitching has been a little bit stronger. You guys have been scoring more runs, but I mean, what has been the key so far in September?
You know what? It's just, once again, we're just putting things together. Finally, things are falling in our way. You know, the pitching is coming around again. They struggled throughout the season from time to time. When their pitching was pitching, we weren't hitting. When we weren't hitting, then the pitching was pitching. We couldn't scoring runs for them. So finally, you know, we're putting the whole mix together. You know, we're hitting, we're getting the hits, the big hits that we need. We're getting the break that we need. We're coming from behind. We're not giving up because, you know, players are understanding now there's a do or die situation, and you know, the pitchers are, you know, doing their job, and bullpen right now is holding tight, which is, you know, was one of our Achilles tendon, you know, point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I look at, I think Nishiguchi has been a real key because, it seemed like every time he went out there, you guys needed, you know, it was, you needed a good performance, and he's been coming up big for you guys.
Yeah, he's a horse. You know what? He's done this for, you know, 20 some years. So, I mean, he's been there for a long time. And it's funny because I know him when I was here back in the stable, and some of the new guys didn't know him, and you know, he struggled last couple of years, but you know, he was always a horse. He, you know, I remember that back in the days, if you needed a win, that was the guy who you needed to get the ball to, because you know he was going to give you a quality start and keep you in the game, and that's how he's been this year too. So it doesn't surprise me, because you know, he always had that in the inside of him. He always had that spirit. He doesn't quit, and you know, obviously for a guy who pitched this long, he's definitely doing something right.
All right, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the new baseball and the lack of home runs and scoring being down. And although you guys, it looks like you guys are scoring more than 5 runs a game this month, how has Nakamura been able to hit the ball around like this?
You know what? His example. I mean, I honestly don't know, honestly, because everybody's been complaining about it. He's been consistent doing what he's doing. You know, he's doing, he's done it for so many years, and obviously he doesn't show that the ball hasn't affected him at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's been a power hitter, and he's generated so much pop and so much torque with his low body. I mean, his low body, and then I think the key for him is he's a dead pull hitter. Mm-hmm. So he's been a pull hitter. And I think that's the key of that. Most of us that in the past have success about hitting home runs, my power normally comes gap to gap, a lot of opposite field home runs, but you know, guys like Ramirez, Cabrera, those guys, a lot of times you hit, you know, inside, pitchers come inside and you turn it loose. But you know, Nakamura has been is the typical power hitter for the States, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what we were taught when we were coming up. If you're gonna be a power hitter, you can pull the pitches, and he brings the ball outside, and you know, any pitches outside, middle away, and you leave it up in the strike zone, he'll hook it and hammer, and he doesn't miss it. So I think the key for him is that he's been a dead pull hitter his whole career. He obviously is more experienced now, and he's been able to get the most out of those mistakes that the pitchers I have left them, you know, up in the middle of the play, away, middle of the play.
Mm-hmm. All right. What about you? How have you adjusted to the ball?
It's been tough. I tell you what, I won't lie to you. I'm in the season 100 some games, and I'm not going to lie anymore about, you know, I it's been a tough situation. It's been a tough season for all of us, especially because I'm an opposite field power gap hitter. You know, that's how my power comes. That's how a lot of doubles, line drives the other way. Well, this year, for some reason, the ball stays in the air too long. It floats. It doesn't carry. It doesn't lift. You hit line drives opposite field, and normally it's off the wall, home run. Now it's getting cut, not even warning track. And it's kind of frustrating because you know you put a good swing on it, and a ball that should have, you know, leave the yard or at least hit off the wall and like hit a gapper, and it's getting cut, it's been coming out. So I think around the league, you ask everybody, you know, the stats tells you, speak by itself. You got players on the other league, Central League with smaller ballpark, Tokyo Dome with 50, 40% down in home runs. You got guys, 30 home run all their life, Ramirez, Ogasawara, guys from the Giants, everybody hits home runs in that ballpark, and nobody's hitting more than 10, 15 home runs.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, really, because fans love the ball. There's a saying, you know, chick leads to long ball. So,
yeah.
You know, people come to watching home runs, and now you're gonna have it's amazing. You're gonna have a league leader home run on the other league with 20 home runs. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and they're lucky to get that many. But the one other thing is, I know you hit one today, and I know you got your arms extended, and you got the ball. I mean, it was a really nice swing for you, I'm sure. How did that one feel? Straight away.
It's funny because I've been working on that for quite a bit now, and it hasn't got a result that I wanted to. I've been trying to stay, you know, like I said, I struggle so bad for the season, and normally as a baseball player, you try to change every day. You make adjustments. Well, since like I mentioned before, I was hitting the baseball hard, opposite fields everywhere that normally leave the jar, and I've been getting caught. It's becoming out. So I've been making adjustment or making changes into my swing, try to generate, you know, a little more angle or more power, and you know, it's a hack I'm empty until this point. And then I just about a week ago, just said, you know what, I'm just gonna go back to my basic. It's gonna be a season that I'm not very proud of it. And I'm just gonna go back to the basic that I normally, if it happens, happen. If it doesn't happen, doesn't happen. So right now I know you gotta hit the ball square, straight, you know, up the face, hit him in the face in order to leave the jar. So today I got a howl of goo, and, you know, I get inside the ball, hit behind the ball pretty good. And then the ball obviously, you know, carry a lot better than normally, you know, and the, as a result. So, you know, hopefully I can carry on and hit at least a few more before the season ends. But like I said, I know I'm not going to be able to be satisfied with whatever number I end up with, because it's only 20 games left, and I'm in 14 now. So.
Right. Well, we talked about it on the show all season long. Nobody is doing, you know, very well except for one guy, and you get to see him every day. So other than that, nobody's happy with their home run totals and all that stuff. Now, talk about your season. You came in. I noticed right away you had lost weight. And how did you get ready for this season? And what are some of the other changes you made coming into this season?
You know, it's been an interesting season. You know, after everything happened here in Japan and all that.
Yeah, I remember seeing you on the street.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
after the earthquake and tsunami, you were looking for
looking
gas.
Yeah, looking for water and gas. Yeah.
Gas with the other people, yeah.
So, you know, it was an interesting season. It's been an interesting season. You know, the changes of the ball, the strike zone, umpire also has been an adjustment. And you kind of try to block all those things and be ready physically, mentally for the season. It's a long season. And, you know, especially in Japan, they drag it, you know, 144 games into an 8-month season. So you mentally get tired and exhausted, but, you know, I want to come in in the best shape possible. And I lose some of the weight that, you know, in the past I didn't really mind, and I still don't mind because it was muscle, you know, weight. But I want to trim up a little bit, get a little quicker, make sure my legs are in best shape possible. You know, it's, you get older, you start getting a little more hamstring problems and groin problems and legs problems. Yeah, so you're trying to make sure that you take some little more weight, you know, even though I always got a strong foundation. But I wanted to lose some weight. I wanted to be quicker, and it has, you know, it helped me a lot. I've been able to stay healthy throughout the season, and I feel in, you know, the best shape ever in Japan, actually. Maybe the number doesn't say that, but physically, why I feel great. And, you know, and I obviously, you mentioned, and a lot of people have mentioned it before, the difference of the way it looks. But, you know, I wanted to do that. I wanted to make sure that I was in best shape possible, you know, physically, mentally, and, you know, it happened. And, you know, it's been a successful season for me in that end. And even though I've been blessed to stay healthy through most of my career, and this year, you know, it's been there. It's been like that. I've been able to stay consistently in my health and stay in shape, and hopefully, you know, carry through a couple more years.
Now, I remember your first stint with Cebu. When I saw you when you were playing with the Eagles, I think, we were talking, and you talked about some of the young players they had at the time that you joined them, which is 204. So those players, Nakajima, Kuriyama, Kataoka, are now like veteran players, but there's another crop of new good players. Talk about those guys.
Yeah, you know what? Cebu always had a great core of young players, you know, like you mentioned before, when I was here in 04, you know, it was Wada, me, and Alex, you know, Takagi, a few guys now that most of them are gone, but we were basically the veteran of the team, and these kids were coming up, you know, we've seen Nakamura and Nakajima, and we knew they were going to become stars. Well, you know, Cebu has always done that. They always keep bringing good new players, new core players, you know. Now you got guys like Yuichi. Now you got guys like Akiyama. You got guys Asamura. So there's some young players that are going to be there for a long time. They're going to become a star, and they're going to become a good player. When you got a guy playing at this level already at the age of 19, it's always good, you know, because, you know, in 2-3 years, they're going to get experience, and they're going to be able to relax and do really good. So I think Cebu has maintained that idea, that core of understanding that, you know, some of the players are getting old. Nakajima has a chance that he might go to the big leagues next year. They keep talking about it, you know. You might lose some players, you know. So, you know, I'm veteran. I'm a little older now. So, you know, there's going to be new players coming in and out. So they need to keep maintaining those fresh newcomers, because that's going to be the future of the organization. So I think Cebu, it's in a good situation. It's in a good position. You know, they're going to prepare a couple of young players for the future. And you know, like I saw it coming when I was here in 04, is that they were going to be as good as they are, you know, 5-6 years down the road. I think they're still going to maintain that level.
Who do you think is going to be the best out of that crop of new guys?
Asamoah, I think Asamoah has a high ceiling talent. I think Yuichi obviously has a stop pitcher, left-handed pitcher, so he got.
You say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pitch is a different guy.
Yeah. We have another guy we haven't seen pitch much. You know, we don't have Makita, actually.
Right.
You know, Makita is...
He's closer
now. He's a starter. He did great at the beginning as a starter. I can see him going back to the starting position once they find somebody who can be the closer, which it was planned to be Oishi at the beginning of the season, but he got arm problem. But, you know, I think Asamura is going to be, you know, other. Akiyama is turning around and becoming a everyday player. And I can see now the potential in him and be the everyday, you know, center fielder. But don't forget, we're talking about these young kids, but Nakamura, Kuriyama, these kids are only 26, 27. They're not old. They're veteran because they've been in the league a while. But these guys are going to be here for another at least 8-9 more years.
Right.
You know, so in 5 more years, you're going to get new players. Or maybe next year, 2 years down the road, you're going to get new players. But they might not even have a chance to play because these guys are still going to be around. You know, you get Kuriyama, who's you know, should be the batting, you know, champ this year. But, you know, Chikawa just got enough of bats. But yeah, quality-wise, you know, batting, he's a superstar.
Yeah.
You got Nakamura, too, who's, you know, home run king already in a couple times. So he's going to be there for a long time. He's only 26.
Yeah.
So Asamura is basically, you're just going to join the group. Or, you know, Nakajima leave, then, you know, those guys are going to come and take over. But it's very fun. It's fun when you have that type of group of guys that you see it as a player. You see them growing. You see them developing. You see them that in the future they're going to be there. So you just, you know, like I said before, I was happy and blessed to be part of that.
All right, man. Good luck in that playoff chase.
Thank you. Hopefully we end up getting that spot because, if we don't, it's going to be very disappointing for everybody, you know. Because we were supposed to be in the first place.
I think I predicted you guys would win. So.
I know. Just don't feel bad because everybody did, you know. And I remember I did that. I remember I told my family, I was like, well, I'll be ready for it because I'm going to be here for a long time because I'm coming home for a long time because I think we're going to be here for a while. But, you know, finally putting this together. So hopefully we can, you know, the Bayards are playing great too. It's going to be interesting. Dogfight.
All right, man. Well, we have a fan of the show who regularly comments about the Lions. He's a big Lions fan, too, so he's pulling for you big time. Good luck, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate the time.
All right,
man. Thanks.
Later.
All right. Thanks a lot to Mr. Fernandez.
Yeah, Maya, thank you very much.
It was nice of him to donate some time there to chat. And he actually did well today. He had a bases-loaded single to help the Lions to their, what was it, a 4-1 win? Now let's talk about this run that they're on. I mean, for me, the first thing I looked at was the starting pitching and you know, Fumiya Nishiguchi, their old veteran pitcher, but there's other guys.
The warhorse.
The warhorse, Jose calls him. Yeah. There's other guys who are contributing. What did you find when you looked through the stats?
Well, Nishiguchi's kind of interesting because he's been, you know, he's the one nobody expected this season. I mean, it looked like his career was over. It looked like it was over 3 years ago.
It looked like the grave was actually reaching up out of the ground to grab him and pull him in.
Exactly. And now, you know, Kishi was hurt and a lot of people were hurt and he got a chance to pitch him with the new ball and those lower, you know, what can we say, lowered expectations for hitters. He's been a star. So things, you know, that's a big thing. He's been able to, you know, to eat up a lot of innings that I think nobody expected.
Well, I didn't, and I always look at him, and in fact, I don't even still see him as a reliable guy out there. I just think that he's able to get the job done. But at any time, if he gets knocked around, you're not surprised.
No.
Yeah,
but you are surprised when he's reliable in 3 out of 4 starts.
Right.
And that's essentially what he's been doing for him.
Yeah, this month, 21 innings pitched, only 5 earned runs, 14 hits, which is pretty good, not bad. 11 walks is probably kind of high, but he struck out 15 guys. So, I mean, you know, he's as good as anybody they've had on the staff this year. Walkley's, you know, I don't know if he's hurt, if something's not quite right with Hideaki Walkley, but he still is efficient. He's not striking out as many guys, so they're putting more balls in play and everything. But Yeah, he was 2-1 this month. Right. I mean, it's, you know, the first thing I looked at, like I said, was the starting pitching, and it's been really good.
Yeah, well, the starting pitching, and I think that one thing it's easy to overlook, because as crazy as the Lions' season has been and how up and down the rotation was, pretty much all through Interleague and in June, until the end of June, is the rotation right now is really set. Basically, at the end of the All-Star, well, I guess it was not long after the All-Star break, and Watanabe put Kikuchi in the rotation, and he's been in there, and it's been Kikuchi, Hawashi, Kishi, Wakui, Nishiguchi. Who am I missing?
You are missing Ishii.
Ah, I wish I could miss him, but he keeps finding me.
Yeah, I don't know how I found him, because he really is a forgotten guy.
Well,
he's hard to remember.
He's easy to remember. You just want to forget the guy. Okay. Well, so anyway, so this is going on, and plus or minus, the whole Lions staff has been about, it really hasn't improved a lot since the beginning of the season, but the starting pitching has been markedly better, and the relief pitching has been markedly worse. And I guess, you know, if you had your druthers, what would you have, better starting pitching or better relieving? And I'd go with the starters.
Yeah, I mean, the starters are 12-3 this month with a 3.12 ERA, and that's going to keep you in games. And even, you know, if you can build up a lead, and from what I've seen, the Lions are averaging about a little bit more than 5 runs per game.
Yep.
And if you can get, you know, a lead and get 5 runs, and let's say, you know, you have a 3-run cushion and your bullpen gives up a couple, you're still in position to win the game. And that's where they've been.
Well, I asked. I noticed that basically the only difference between April through July and August and September is that the Lions are getting a lot more singles. They are hitting the ball. I mean, when they put the ball in play for most of the season, they were hitting the ball to people.
Mm-hmm.
They were not getting it past people. I think they were.
That's a problem.
They were hitting two. Okay, the league basically hits close to 300. I mean, Japanese baseball, usually you put the ball in play, you're going to hit about 300.
Right.
Except for when it goes over the fence. I'm talking about in the field of play.
Mm-hmm.
The Lions were hitting about 270. This year that number's down a little bit because people were not making good contact. But the Lions were 240, and now they're like 285, which is about the league average. So they went from not hitting the ball at all to hitting it well. And a couple of things, I guess. One is Watanabe, the manager, Hisanobu Watanabe, mentioned that...
Nabe-Q
said that one of the things was Akiyama, Shogo Akiyama, the rookie, has been a regular since the beginning of August, and he's been on fire. He couldn't hit his weight from April till July, but now he's hitting well. All these guys are hitting better. I say all these guys. Nakajima's, since the beginning of August, he's been hitting 350. Kuriyama's been hitting 350. Tatoka's been hitting 270 or 280, but he was hitting 240 before he got hurt and not drawn any walks, and he's been drawing walks since then. Plus, he's in there playing defense.
Right. And the thing that I notice is maybe not everybody is their averages are going up, but everybody's contributing, you know, if not one day, then the next day they're getting at least a hit or getting on base. And
right.
And Nakamura, you know, Okawari-kun, Takeya Nakamura has been so steady. And, I mean, he's had 9 home runs and 8 doubles this month and knocked in 25 runs. And,
right.
You know, when you're getting on base in front of that guy, or if you're a threat to get on base behind him, which they really need somebody to hit well behind him, but...
Yeah, he probably is getting cheated with his... He's not probably getting any pitches to hit because there's nobody batting behind him.
You mean pitches to pull, according to Jose, right? He said he's pulling.
Well, I'm not a big fan of that thing. I mean, it's a fairly limited, in my opinion, a fairly limited excuse. It has some applications, but in my mind now, it's good hitters can protect their own strikes. It does matter. You know, it'll cut down the walks. It'll change the walk column, change the RBIs a little bit. But
right.
It's not a big deal.
But, yeah, I've noticed that a lot of guys have been contributing. I mean, Ginchan has been getting hits. Ginjiro,
yep.
Sumitani, their catcher. Sure. You know, any of the guys they bring in there, like Hara Asamura, he had a big sacrifice fly on Saturday to get a run home. And it's just they've been getting more contributions throughout the lineup from guys who were in the first half of the season, they were instant outs, you know, and now they're a little bit tougher outs. They're putting the bat on the ball. And, you know, if you do that more often than not, you know, good things happen. Well, not more often than not, but a lot of times good things happen and you can be productive and help the team win.
Well, that has happened. And I think, Jose told me today, essentially, he was going on about some of the same stuff that he said in the interview about the ball and about the umpires. But essentially, there's so many changes this year. Mike, I think that, you know, we've seen there were so many changes, and he mentioned today that don't leave out that there was an earthquake in spring training and everything was messed up.
Right,
that
right.
They really didn't have preseason games because of the earthquake. They had practice games. They had lots of practice, but they didn't actually have the game conditions.
Right.
And that may have played an effect in allowing the hitters to catch up with all the changes. And my feeling right now is the hitters just are the process that Jose Fernandez has gone through that he talked about,
mm-hmm.
from making adjustments to trying to do this to trying to do that to basically going back to his swing that worked before and letting what comes, you know, letting it come how it comes, you know,
right,
letting the ball come off as it does, is, I think, the process that everybody in the league has gone through and sort of less gotten there at one point or another. Everybody except for Ogasawara is still looking for it.
Well, yeah, and he'll have to look for it in,
I think, in fall camp.
Somewhere, because he's injured and we don't even know when he's coming back. But
right.
Now let's talk about the Buffaloes. I mean, they've been pretty much just as good. In fact, when I was looking at their record, I noticed that they got swept by the Lions down in Kobe.
Sure.
Earlier this month, and that was three of the five losses that they've had this month. Otherwise,
yeah.
they've been pretty much spotless. So, what's going on over there? I mean, you know, I noticed the one thing I noticed with that team is again two guys really hot. Aaron Baldries has just been
sure.
He has become a very reliable and fearful for pitchers in terms of them going after him. Hitter, you know, he's got a great swing for Japan, I think. He kind of, especially with this ball, but he kind of uppercuts the ball, but he can get down and get those low pitches and drive them. And, you know, if you leave anything inside or you know, middle end, he's driving the ball. And
I think he's very fundamentally sound. He's not a flashy player. He's not. I mean, he was a shortstop and a third baseman with the Tigers when he first came up. And you know, he's fundamentally solid in the field. He's fundamentally solid. He has decent plate coverage. He can drive the ball anywhere, as you said, from the middle end.
Yeah, you say fundamentally solid, and actually Jose Fernandez told me he was the best third baseman when I asked him earlier this season. I said, who'd you pick, you know, as the best third baseman? Especially in the Pacific League, but, you know, among third basemen in Japan, he picked Aaron.
Wow.
So that's
how
I
like that. You know, I've been a big fan of his.
I know you have.
Because basically, you know, what he did in the Western League for the Tigers was just amazing. And I think this year is really, you know, he didn't have the power before. I wouldn't have expected the power. It was something that he has developed, but the home run power he's got now is a significant amount of power in this season. For him to hit .275 is no surprise because he's basically, all the averages are down 25 points and he's a 300, he's close to a 300 hitter, I think, in the Pacific League.
Right.
So to me, this is a big, big season for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's a breakout season for him in terms of, you know, what's happening with the ball and the fact that he's hitting, you know, as high as he's hitting. But like I said before, and I haven't looked at the numbers and don't have the capability, but
right.
I just feel like the offenses have come around since the All-Star break, and they've improved across the board, and people's averages are steadily climbing. But, you know, one point here, one point there, and then, you know, you have an 0-4 and it goes down. So it's a long, long climb back to normalcy, I think. But he has been one of the guys who's upped his average steadily since this in the second half of the season.
I'll tell you something. There's a few interesting things, but there. I won't even go in. I think we're going to save this for another time. But lots of changes. You know, at the beginning of the season, we were seeing the new ball and the particularly the umpire switch. Just had no batters knew what was up, what was down, what was a strike, what isn't a strike, and the pitchers had everything their way.
Right, right.
And I think just the longer they stick with it, the longer the umpires get used. You know, the umpires are getting used to the catchers in the other leagues. They're getting used to the players in the other leagues. This is also an adjustment.
Right, right.
Which I think is easy to overlook. You know, instead of just blaming everything on the umpires, they're human too, and I know the players know this. Except when the human element just called a strike that was 5 inches outside the zone.
Well, you know, and a long time ago I talked balls and strikes with Alonzo Powell, who used to play for the Chunichi Dragons, and I really stepped in it that day, and I decided, you know what, I'm never talking balls and strikes again with a player. And I talked to some of the players, I think it was Aaron Giles, said, you know, did you see that pitch? It was 6 inches off the plate. And I just said, oh, well. Well, that's too bad. Sometimes the umpire, you know, I don't even get into it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times the one time I did talk to one of the players, I said, you know, have you ever gone back and looked at the film and said, you know what, the umpire was right? And he said, yeah, one or two. So they, you know, at the time, they felt that it was a ball or not off, not on the plate. But then when they go back and they're calm and they look at the film, then they can see how the umpire, it was close enough to be called a strike. So, yeah, I mean, what else have you seen with these guys? I mean, we obviously know Mitsutaka Goto had this 26-game hitting streak.
Yep.
And
isn't that guy amazing?
Well, I said that last week because, you know, again, we're not talking about a guy like Ichiro or somebody who we expect to, every time they go up there, every time they go get ready for a game, you know, we're expecting some good things out of him. We're, you really know what to expect. You know he's going to put the ball in play because he hasn't struck out so much. However, he hasn't done this before, and I wasn't able to find his the longest hitting streak that he had in his career. I have to make another call, I think.
Okay.
But we'll find that, and we'll look it up. But, he's a guy who, we look at what he did over this hitting streak, and he wasn't even that impressive. He didn't up his average that much. He just kept getting hits every day.
You know, he's been a kind of a funny player. Whenever they've left him in the lineup, he's hit close to 300. Whenever he's been a regular player, okay, this is the third season when he's over 110 games, and he's hit 285, 295, and 297 this year, which is saying that he's really stepping up his game because 295 this year is not the same. Now, he's lost his power. He used to have a little more medium-range power, but this is what you'd expect with a guy who isn't really a power hitter. He just makes good contact.
Right.
But he's been a good player. But his problem has been playing time because he's an in-between guy. He's a pretty good fielder. I mean, he used to be a shortstop. He's a pretty good fielder, and he's a pretty good hitter. But sometimes he's not the hitter. He's not the fielder you want at second. And sometimes he's not the hitter you want, you know, batting second and, you know, third in the lineup.
Right.
So they never quite know what to do, but I'm glad for him. You know, he was a free agent and he re-signed with the Orioles, and it's working out for him. So, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, he's been productive, again, during this stretch where, obviously, the Buffaloes have made a run. Well, you know, they made a run, and again, like I said at the beginning of this thing, was that the Lions haven't been able to make up any ground, but, you know, conversely, the Buffaloes haven't been able to put them away.
Sure. And, the Buffaloes should, the pennant race should be over right now, but it isn't because of the Lions.
Right. So,
hold on a second. Didn't somebody write off the Lions about a month and a half? Weren't they out of it with no chance to win?
Was that?
I heard that somewhere. Maybe it's my just hearing is faulty.
You're misremembered.
That's happened. Now, that has happened.
One of the greatest made-up words in the, considered to be English language. Maybe you misremembered. Was that me? Well, I'll have to eat those words. Would you bring them back in and heat them up in the microwave, and I'll eat them at the office on...
Well, indeed, I'll bring some guacamole for you, baby.
Oh, no, guacamole, no, don't do that. It'll even taste worse going back.
What? You don't have to go there. Okay.
But yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, I did write them off. I think I did write them off, and I've seen that they've won all these games. Now, what have we seen? When a team like this comes. Pulls it together. We don't know if they pulled it together or they're just hitting a hot streak.
I'm going to go and say that the Lions pretty much with what I said early in the season, that they weren't as bad as they looked, that they were a good team that was playing badly, which I also applied to the Yomiuri Giants.
Yes, you did.
Okay, fair enough. The Buffaloes, however, you know, I think all the listeners know that we love the Buffaloes, but we'd like to see them all, you know, wear a different uniform one to turn up in a different as a different team with good management and a good organization.
Yeah.
And then you'd say, wow, these guys, how come they're not in first place?
Well,
or, you know, you'd have an argument for it because they've got some quality talent, but I think they're always waiting to be the team that their management group doesn't seem to think they can be.
Well, you know, I said good things about them early on. I said I hope they win. I like them. I like, you know, I like watching the team. I mean, I like some of the players and everything. I'm not sure that I like the manager, but you know,
well, I've a great guy, but I'm glad he's not managing my team.
Right. The thing about it is, we've seen a lot of teams make a run. You know, the Eagles made a run early on in the season and got into third place and. You know, we've seen teams make runs. We just don't know. Like the Giants made a run in the Central League, and they
sure.
got up into I think second place at one
they
point.
They were in second place, sure.
So I don't know. I can't decipher whether this is a good team making a run or a good team that has finally put it together. And I would venture to say that they're not as good as maybe this record is this month, obviously.
Right.
And once they lose a game and start to come back to earth, can they get it together? Keep it up and actually grab this playoff spot. And I'm still going to stick with my, if indeed I did say that, and I wonder if you have it recorded or not, that the Lions were dead. I will stick to my guns that they are dead, but I think they're going to really make it interesting. And one of the things that makes it interesting is they have another series coming up next month
right.
against the, Oryx Buffaloes.
They do. I think they're at home, too.
I had it down here. Again, I'm losing my notes. Got to stop doing that. These teams play at Cebu Dome from October 4th to October 6th, and that's going to be it, I think.
The one comment I want to make here is about stability. Now, this year has been the year of instability. And the Lions were the poster, you know, the Lions, perhaps the Giants were the poster children for that, and then the Lions were the Pacific League version.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that they had a lot of injuries and things were, especially to the starting rotation and to a couple of key players and so on and so forth, and things were, you know, they had umpires and the balls and everything was changing and nobody knew what was what. Everything that had worked in the past was no longer working. Okay, now that's the same for everybody, but when you look at the Lions right now, you see a plan. You see six starting pitchers, everybody else in the bullpen. You see specific combinations in the lineup that the mm-hmm. manager has specific plans for. When you look at Oryx, now Oryx is a team that perhaps just requires more analysis, but look as I may, I cannot discover a plan or any kind of pattern that makes me think any player on Oryx knows what's happening. That they have confidence, they're going to be in the lineup tomorrow, and they're going to be batting ahead of this guy and behind this guy, and they're going to be playing this position, and know that if they don't strike, you know, if they strike out three times, they're going to be in the lineup the following day.
Right.
And I think this is something that the Lions are now building on, and which Oryx is. As much as I like the team, mm-hmm. I like the players at Oryx more than I like the players of the Lions at this moment. But they're building a castle in the sand.
I hear you, what you're saying, and I agree actually that you know stability and having a plan and all that stuff is working to help the Lions in this run, but. I also look at the Buffaloes and I like what's happening on the mound for them in terms of their starting pitching. And,
yeah.
And I don't know that, you know, any of the guys is the kind of guy who's going to shut somebody down, in a playoff situation. But for right now, guys like Nakayama, Kaneko, Figuero, Nishi, Terahata, they're getting the job done in the starting front. And, I mean, they're matching what the Lions are doing in those terms. And then their lineup, is probably a little bit more steady in terms of, you know, where guys are going to hit in the run-producing spots, run-producing areas up in, you know, around, they're building around Arum. He's the big man. You can see the confidence with him. You know, he had a game where his grandmother died, and he hit a home run that day, a walk-off home run. Wow. And after, since that, he's really just, you know, he's been very, very reliable and very productive. And I think he's shouldered the responsibility. Now, we've seen that Nakamura, Okawari-kun, has done that for the Lions.
Sure.
So I just think they're really even. I think both teams, I think, I don't see the plan. I hear what you're saying with Oryx. I don't see the plan, but I'm seeing the results.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I think maybe despite their manager, despite management in the front office, that the players are figuring out a way to win. And the immeasurable, the heart and the desire and the competitiveness, guys like Goto, you know, is coming out. And, you know, I think it's the talent of the team. I'm not going to look at the numbers and all. I'm not going to stat head the thing. You know, Michael was teasing me last week when he said stat head, but I'm not going to, you know, look at the number. I'm just going to look at what my eyes are telling me on the field, which is that the guys are competing. So, I mean, yeah, sure. I'm going to stick with my prediction that the Lions are not going to make the playoffs, but I really think it comes down to that series, October 4th through 6th.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and I'm hoping I can go to at least one of those games. But, you know, it's at Cebu. Yeah, it is. It's at Cebu. And, you know, they can win 2 out of 3. I'm not going to say they're going to sweep because I think they're going to see one of the better pitchers. I think the rotation will be juggled appropriately, as will theirs. And we'll see who pitches, and we'll see who outpitches each other. But I think it's going to come down to that. And, you know, obviously the Lions have the advantage of playing at home, but the Buffalo still have the advantage of holding on to this lead that they have. So,
this is going to be good.
Yeah, this is good stuff. This is what the gods envisioned when they decided to, you know, implement this playoff format and let some other teams in the playoffs make these games count. And now, you know, almost every pitch everywhere in Japan counts here late in September and heading into October. And that's
what God does. The gods do work in mysterious ways. I always thought that was the Pacific League and Central League who made the playoff system.
Well, speaking of the Central League, your Swallows are doing their best to not be able to swallow, and they're choking.
Yeah, they stopped swallowing today for a change. Although they, you know, It was a really good series. I would say, except for this one game, it was a really good series in Nagoya.
It was.
This one game and one pitch to Ibata, and this is a really different setup. But, yeah, they let the game get away from them, and the score looked on Saturday looked a little lopsided. But it was a good series, and, good. I think the Dragons... Well, we'll get to the Dragons in a second, but Swallows are clinging to, you know, hanging on by the skin of their teeth, and this is also going to be fun. The Dragons have a chance, and they're going to have some motivation.
Yeah, we'll get to that too later. But I mean,
right. Yeah,
it's certainly, you know, the thing that I watched, and of course I look at the pitching matchups, and you talk about stability in a rotation, and certainly the first thing I thought was, well, the Dragons have a really good stable staff, but you know. They've been bringing Yamai in to fill in, and
right.
They just brought him up. I mean, I know he was injured earlier in the season, and apparently he was injured, but that's what they tell us.
One never knows.
Yeah, you never know. But you know, he's been up starting recently. But other than that, the top guns are firing on all cylinders, it seems, and they're back. So this is going to be a good race down to the end. But again, had they lost today, they would have been a half game up over the Dragons in the standings. But I think in reality, with the 5-game difference in the loss column, with all those ties,
right.
That, you know, the Dragons really weren't that close. And even had they swept the series, let's say, and then the next day that they play, Tuesday, let's say the Swallows would have lost and the Dragons actually would have been in first place in the standings. I don't think in reality they would have been in first place, but you know, we'll see how it goes down the stretch. I think Hanshin and the Giants, that race for, you know, you can call it a race for third, but I mean, everything's still so close that you can go on a 5-game winning streak and end up in second place.
Right.
So, I mean, this whole playoff thing is, it's just beautiful. Like I said about the Pacific League, same goes for the Central League, that all the pitches, every pitch is so important now throughout the league, except maybe the Hiroshima Bay Stars games, but
every pitch Hiroshima is turning that way,
yeah. Every pitch means something. It's just, I mean, you watch the scoreboard, you're watching game, if I'm home, I'm flipping, you know, channels and trying to put a game on my iPhone, a game on the computer, get the TV going with the picture in picture. I mean, I'm busy as heck.
Yeah, well, darn, John. Better learn to kick back a little bit there. Well, I'll give you, since you're the Dragons guy, if I give you a number and I tell you 9 straight quality starts
for
your guys before today, 9 straight quality starts for the Dragons.
Yeah. I mean,
good stuff.
Yeah, even today, I mean, it was not an earned run, but I mean, that's the one thing about Chen that bothers me is he's kind of heartless. he's kind of a wimp and
heartless.
You know, Mourinho.
In other words, he doesn't care whether he kills his opponents or his teammates.
Gutless. How's that?
Gutless. Wow.
Spineless. Is that better? I mean, the heartless. I mean, I want a guy who plays with heart, so that's what I'm talking about. Heartless.
Okay.
He is without heart.
Okay.
Yes. Chen the chicken-hearted. I like that.
Okay.
Chicken-hearted Chen. You can
ask him if he likes that nickname next time we talk.
Well, I don't know how to say that in Chinese or Taiwanese or Japanese, so, yeah.
Good luck. Taiwanese is limited to a few things, which I will not repeat here.
Well, before we get to the listener question, I wanted to ask you about your MVP selection since we didn't have you on the show last week.
Sure. Well, I want to thank Michael, especially for sitting in. That was a big, big deal. I had a busy weekend with friends traveling up here from Shiga, and two other friends got married. So for Ryota and Yumiko, another omedetto.
Oh, wow. Shout-outs on the show. Oh, start a trend.
We love you guys. Okay. All right. So anyway, yeah, the MVPs, I think I have to go right now with Takeyama now, provided the Dragons don't win. Oh, my gosh, the Swallows. I have had no hope for the Swallows all year, but now I figure, well, let's go with Takeyama as soon as I think they're going to win the pennant.
Yeah.
They start to slide. They start down the slippery slope. So, well, Takeyama is my guy, and one more mention about moving him to catcher, and we'll have to punish you.
Oh, well, yeah, I wish I could have. I wish we even had time to debate that here. But
right, okay, well, let's not get into that right now.
I would just say maybe you could hide the sludge somewhere. That's all I have to say.
Well, if you can't, I'll just say this. If you have to play him because he doesn't have a position, regardless of his defense, then you have to play him. And better off to let him hit and let him play first base and get some defense somewhere else. Okay.
Okay.
Now, in the Pacific League, I had been leaning. You know, I've had a couple of big candidates all year. I liked Uchikawa, especially when he came back, but he's still Uchikawa, yeah. Seiichi Uchikawa. He's probably going to be the Pacific League batting champion, and I don't know if he'll be the first player to win a batting title in both leagues, but he will be one of the rare few if he does.
And I believe Michael Westbay picked him early on when we had a debate about it. He picked him to be the champion. So if he does, he will make Michael
and
Westbay.
And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Okay, now, my MVP would be Michael's MVP right now, and that would be Takeya Nakamura of the Lions.
Even if they don't make the playoffs?
He's having this season that is so far and away better than what anybody else is doing. And the voters are suckers for guys to do this. I mean, think about it. Iwakuma, who was probably not even the best player on the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles in 2008, was the MVP. Was it 2008? He was the MVP because he had phenomenal-looking numbers. He probably wasn't even the best pitcher in the league, but they made him the MVP for a fifth-place team.
Wow.
So I think that Nakamura, 41 home runs in this season.
42 now.
42, excuse me, and I saw it. 42 just over the fence, And he's now got the walks to go with it. He didn't hit for average, but he's got his average up to about normal. I mean, his average is where it's supposed to be. His home runs, those 41 home runs look like this is a career year for him.
Yeah, it makes it's sort of like hitting 60. Yeah. Well,
I might not go that far, but 55 or, you know, up towards the record. So it's a magnificent, amazing season. But it's going to be hard to overcome the bias towards pitchers this year with all the voters going, wow, the pitchers are so good this year. Aren't they just wonderful?
They
Let's
are.
Vote for a pitcher.
Okay.
Because they're all so good.
Settle down. Settle down. All right. Well, yeah, we did want to
Bunch
talk.
Bunch of wusses. Except us.
Put the guns away. Stop letting the bullets fly. Let's relax. All right. Well, yeah. Well, it'll be an interesting vote. I'm really excited about you know, seeing how that goes, as well as the pennant races. So we'll see how it goes. Thanks for your input.
Sure.
Now let's get to fielding questions. Claudio Rodriguez of Toronto emailed me, and he says, hey, weren't you surprised about the news that Chunichi is letting Ochiai go? Isn't that nuts? The owner himself recognized that the Ochiai era has been the most successful in the club's history, and he still wants him to leave? Honestly, I don't know how these guys think sometimes. Chunichi may even, again, win the CL crown this season. It's like when Rakuten let Nomura go. Oh, boy, says Claudio.
Wow.
You know, we didn't even really touch on the fact that the Ham Fighters, the Nippon Ham Fighters, let Masataka Nashida go in the same fashion, but they did it about a month ago.
Right.
And
well, actually, you know, oddly enough, he was the one who told somebody that he wasn't going to be re-signed and that he was thinking he wouldn't. Now, interestingly enough, of course, this is in the Japanese media, so we don't know really what the whole story is there. But, yeah, he's originally saying he's going to be finished at the end of the year, and I guess the team didn't offer him a contract. And now the team is saying, oh, we wanted him to stay, but his heart is set against it.
Right. Well,
I don't know what to believe. I like the Fighters organization. I like Toshimasa Shimada, the guy who runs everything, and he's a first class guy. But I don't understand what's going on.
Well, I want to say I don't understand what's happening in Nagoya, but you know, even as I prepare to say these things, I'm fighting myself. There's this inner conflict that I'm having right now. I mean,
wow.
The Chunichi fan in me feels like this is the dumbest move, and it's being done to undermine or curtail the success that the team's been having. They've really been great with him, and it's not like before when the team had really star players and wasn't able to come through. They have, you know, they're going to, well, anyway, where do I start? I talked to a beat writer about 2 or 3 years ago, and he told me then, this is a Yomiuri guy, he told me then that, you know, the front office wanted to fire him long ago, but he keeps winning.
Right.
And basically they wanted somebody who is, you know, more of a fan-friendly, media-friendly,
sure,
face of the franchise type person in charge.
Right.
And because they want butts in the seats. This is all for tushies. And I'm thinking, well, that's ridiculous. If you win, they will come.
Well, ostensibly.
Yeah, I mean, in theory.
But I'll tell you, the other thing is, that's especially in Japan. I think that let's talk about this for a second. As people know, I harp on this subject that so much of Japanese baseball is about winning. Ostensibly, the teams focus exclusively on winning, and because they think that that's all the fans want. But the fact is, it's not that simple. The fans do want more than just winning. And this is a situation that's very analogous to what happened with the Cebu Lions about 1992. They had been a dominant team, and their stadium is in the middle of nowhere, and it's hard to get to, but it used to be very hard to get tickets to big Lions games when they were really strong. Well, their manager was very much a manager in Ochiai's mold, in the sense of former Giants catcher Masaaki Mori, in the sense that he didn't give a hoot whether his team was interesting or not.
Right.
He didn't give a hoot whether the fans liked him or not. Although he's kind of a dapper, he is a more fan-friendly, media-friendly guy, and he's very well-spoken.
Mm-hmm.
But if he was determined to, he had the best power hitting team in the Pacific League, and he was determined to prove that the sacrifice bunt was everything. The Lions were boring as paint. They won, and people stopped coming.
Yeah, and I understand it. I understand that he is not, and he, but they knew who they were hiring. This is a this
and
is
now
the guy,
and now they know they've fired. Got a manager who wins every year.
But, they knew that this was the type of person they were bringing in. He shunned the media as a player. He was quiet and gave him the cold shoulder. I don't know what he was like for fans because I had just come to Japan and I was learning the language. And I just remember I never saw him on the Sunday Dragons programs on Sunday morning in Nagoya. They would interview other players, and then if they did talk to him, it would be very brief. But I just don't remember seeing it. So they knew who they were hiring to be their manager. Why fire him now for the things that they expected, even though the team's winning? So, you know,
The other thing I'm reading is that the owners want a manager who is going. Now, I think one thing, now they're hiring Morimichi Takagi, who was a manager in the mid 90s.
Yes, when the team had a bunch of stars.
Well, they were a team in transition, and they were he finished fifth, and then second, then second, then sixth, and he was
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, second. The year that he finished second, they were going to fire him in the middle of the season, because they said he was playing so badly. But when the Giants botched the second half, and it came down to the last game, anyway, they decided to keep him. It was a very similar situation. But what I'm saying is, part of the flack against Ochiai is that he's hired so many coaches who are not former Dragons.
Now,
the problem with this is it doesn't open the door for popular former Dragons to be the next popular former Dragon who's now a manager. And I'll tell you one guy who they want very badly to be the next to be a future manager, and that's Tatsunami. And I'm guessing Takagi's going to be the manager for 1 year. They're going to get down on their knees to Tatsunami to come and be his head coach or a batting coach or something. And that next year, in 2013, they want Tatsunami to manage.
Well, the other thing I read about Ochiai was that he prefers not to have these star players. So he didn't want a big name player. He wanted guys who are going to go out and work hard and do what he told them. Probably and basically, and you know, over the years they've lost guys like Kenshin Kawakami and Kosuke Fukudome, and never missed a beat. In fact, they've been in some respects they've been competing better because they've been in games. But anyway, we've got to wrap this up. I wasn't in. At first, my jaw did drop, but then I remembered all the things that I'd heard, and even Ochiai himself apparently, when he was told, he said, "Okay, that's fine." I mean, you know, he's emotionless and he's dry and he's wry and, you know, he's just not a very talkative person. He's a very taciturn, very unemotionally invested person. And I think they want more money. They want more marketability, and that's what they're going for.
Well, if they wanted that, they should probably get Bobby Valentine.
Yeah. Well, they're going back.
Would that be ironic?
Yeah. Goodness. Hey, Bobby. I mean, they're going after a guy who had a lot, in my opinion, a whole lot of talent and just wasn't able to win. And, you know, if they want to go back to those days, hopefully it is just 1 year. I wouldn't mind seeing Tatsunami be the manager, but, we'll have more to say about it next week, perhaps, but we got to wrap it up for this show. Thanks
right,
a lot, Claudio, for the email. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you to Jose Fernandez for the talk. You can email the show at yakyujohn, YAKYUJOHN @gmail.com, or go to our Facebook and leave us a comment there. Look for us on iTunes. Thanks a lot, Jim Allen. Have a good week.
Hey, thanks, John. Good job.
Enjoy your baseball.
Yeah.